Hi, thanks for listening to My Two Cents. I'm Tim, and this is episode 137. Been working on a lot of stock trading data this afternoon, and I gotta get a better system together for that because, like, right now it's very quiet at work, so I can do that and multitask, but when it picks up, that's gonna be rough, so I have to have a way of analyzing data that I collect. How do I put it? In a faster, more efficient way. And the reason I'm compiling it in like an Excel sheet is like, why would you do this? There are professionals and machines and computers that do this. And that's true, but like, they don't typically do as much with smaller cap companies, which is, I don't want to say primarily what I look to trade, but I'm looking to trade volatility. So, and obviously I'm no expert on any of this shit. I am very, very new to it. So that's why I'm only throwing in like a dollar or two, maybe 10 per trade. And I've got a couple brokerages that don't charge brokerage fees or whatever fees for trades. So I can get in and out, not pay any money on fees, risk losing at most $10 if it goes to zero, and then test this little theory out. So anyway, long story short, because of that, there's not as much data and not as many tools available. Plus, like, I don't know, I'm trying to see, like, I think if I build the tool out versus if I just look at a tool of a summary of data, just seeing graphs over and over and over and over again will probably help me just as much as like the tool itself might actually help me. So just seeing the numbers and how they change and all that, looking at intraday data. So anyway, the current hypothesis I'm testing when I'm not trading, and I'm thinking about this because it's what is it, Saturday? So this is shit I do on the weekend. This is a more detailed hypothesis because my first one wasn't panning out. Second, in terms of like there wasn't consistent winning that I could tell, and then the second one, same problem. So this one, I'm being even more detailed with how much data I'm collecting to see if there's something else I can piece out of it. But it's just, it's a lot, and I'm, you know, I can look at Excel charts all day, but it's just like, I need more time, really. That's what it is. I need to find a way to make more time because I'm trying to do a lot, I'm trying to recover from my ACL, trying to get in a good exercise habit to build a foundation of strength. As a result of that, I'm still trying to learn guitar. Like, I've been playing almost daily now for a week, and I can actually feel like it's actually like fun. I think I'm breaking out of another plateau where I'm like, oh shit, this is what it's like when people are like, you just move. So that's exciting. So just little shit like that takes up time. Plus we're like still traveling across the country, like not trying to anymore, but like, you know, when you're stuff is spread out between Chicago and New York City, and then like you've been driving across the entire state, the United States, West Coast, East Coast, and back. Then when it's time to like, okay, we're gonna settle somewhere, that's a process because you gotta collect some of your shit, and like just the drive from Chicago to the panhandle of Florida is like a day, a solid full day, or 2 days of, you know, 10 hours of driving. And then you're like, okay, cool, we're in Florida. That's kind of where we want to be. It's like, no, if we want to be in South Florida, that's another 10-hour drive. So, yeah, it's just like, okay. Just a lot of maneuvering and weekends just getting eaten up by travel. These are all lots of fabulous excuses. And I don't think I'm complaining. I guess it's a little bit of complaining. But it's mostly like trying to acknowledge and reckon with the fact that it's a challenge for me right now. It just feels like I'm struggle bussing real hard. Like, life is just difficult. And I know that's very rich of me to say, given all of the benefits I currently have. I have my health. I have a clear head. I'm not in a hospital for a mental breakdown, for COVID, for whatever reason. I am able to travel still to a certain degree. Like, a lot of people in places that's not available. And even before the pandemic, that wasn't as easy because people weren't working remotely. So, like, lots of good. Lots of good. So I got to remember to focus on that. It's just, it's really tough to not get stuck and focused on people being jerkwads, for lack of a better word. Like, I just am like, ugh, can you not be a dick to each other, please? Or to me. Like, stop. Yeah. You know, I think we should have a rule. The rule is assume good intent until proven otherwise. And if there's good intent, no need to come out with your fucking Uzi. Like, ease up. Have it in case someone is being a twat, a racist, a sexist, a bigoted jerkwad, an idiot, a moron, uneducated, whatever the topic is. Have your bazooka ready to go to launch. But don't open with that shit. Like, if someone says something dumb, but they clearly aren't trying to be a dick, let's go for curiosity. Why are they coming from this view? Is it just culture? Is it their environment? Have they literally never been exposed to the things that I have been exposed to that have led me to the conclusion I'm in? Just, we need more empathy, man. We need more empathy. We need better listeners. Like, it's amazing. People will tell me, oh, you're such a good conversationalist, da 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 da. I'm not. I just listen and encourage the other person to talk about what they're interested in. It's very simple. And when I don't feel like talking, which is weirdly often for someone who's an extrovert, it's super stupid simple. You say, oh, that's so cool. Tell me more. And you don't have to say a word. And most people will go to town. And whatever it is, whether it's, you know, face painting or grilling or five-star restaurants or blogging, whatever their thing is, they'll just talk and talk and talk. And it's great. So, yeah, we just need to have some better listening ability. Because I think people are not getting heard or not feeling heard. And so then they just start shouting louder and louder. Because everybody's talking about this great divide. We're very divided. We're very divided. And it's like, it's true. But there's a simple fix. Simple fix is listen. Drop the shame. Drop the accusations. If it's warranted, of course. But, like, it's got to be warranted. You don't open with that shit. You know? Somebody's living a certain way. You know, you're a carnivore diet person, or you're like, meat's actually awesome for you, and you feel really good doing it, and somebody says they're a vegan, you don't open with, hey, fucking moron, did you know that DHA is only bioavailable in meat at adequate levels, and you're an idiot if you think you can get a B12 and DHA and omega-3s from your plants, you fucking horse? Like, no, don't open with that. Open with, hey, I feel really good doing this. Did you know this stuff? And maybe they're not even a vegan for health reasons. Maybe it's something else. Because here's some option for insight to yourself. If you're a carnivore person, how much attention do you pay to the sourcing of your meat? Do you even know what farm it comes from? And if you don't, how can you be convinced that it's not actually causing some other environmental complications? Can you be sure? And sure, you can come right back and be like, oh, well, all the vegans and all their GMO soy shit. Like, sure. But did you know that about 70% of the soy crop is actually fed to animals and not to humans? So it's kind of a problem for everybody. But, yeah, I don't know. That one, obviously, with nutrition is always on my mind. Because I just think about that shit a lot. And yeah, one day I definitely am moving back to like, I don't know that I'd call it a meat keto again, because that's what I was. More like a hunted meat, if there's a local farm going for some organ meat, cow, whatever, maybe lamb, and then like fresh lake water fish, especially if it's in my own aquaponics tank shit that I can control. Because for me, it's a lot about the environment and less about health, but definitely some cool shit on lots of angles with that. So, but no, when I'm traveling, fuck no, man, I'm not going to eat meat on the road, because I have no idea where this shit's coming from. And at least with the plants, like, no, is the organic seal like good enough? Of course not, but it's still better. It's not even to their own spec that they list on their website, but it is still documented. I read one study on it. It's better at stopping glyphosate than, you know, regular plant food. And, you know, so that's what I roll with while I'm on the road. Once I'm set up in a spot, yeah, I will likely go back to some version of combination of the two ish. We'll see. But it's got, like, I got to feel very confident about the sourcing. So, which I was in Chicago, because I was like, oh, this butcher, I see the farms, but like, I didn't visit those farms, and I certainly didn't ask if those farms were importing their feed from other areas, which are two very important questions when you talk about environmental footprint. So, plus at the volume I was consuming that at the time, that was certainly not scalable across humans, 7.7 billion of them. So that was a problem. But yeah, because we're over 8 billion people now. I don't even know. But it's something like, if you divide the 7 billion, this is what I did at the time, the 7 billion people on Earth divided by the entire Earth's land mass, it's like, I don't know, a third of an acre per person, more or less. So not a lot at all. And that includes like the fucking Arctic and that type of shit. So like, being able to grow food locally is important, but even that is not going to be enough to sustain, you know, the only reason we're able to feed this many people right now is because of the industrialization of farming, which is sort of, it's like warming yourself up by lighting your clothes on fire. It's working, but it's causing a lot of other problems. So that's going to be an interesting thing that we'll have to figure out. And I do think sort of like mini apartment size scalable, like growing beds that you can grow vertically with, growing food that way, that's going to have to be the answer. You can turn your house and the structural building components of the house into your food. Like, that's slick. That's the kind of shit that we're going to have to start doing. Or we're going to have, you know, a super, super serious pandemic that takes out, you know, half of the world's population. You know, who knows? You never know. COVID could mutate. Jack up to death plague levels. Never know. And, you know, when I'm extra morbid, I'm like, oh, it should totally do that and wipe everybody out. No, I don't really want that. But also sometimes I'm like, to quote Bill Burr, I could do without the traffic. Do I really care if these people are? Yeah. But of course, that's obviously not true. Unless I'm really having a bad day, and then it's like, all right, go for a run. Shut up. So anyway, quite the long rant today, but I appreciate you listening. Thanks for listening.